Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 65, the stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. And what follows, Psalter 65, the 4 stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Jeremiah 10, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Jeremiah 10, the first 16 verses. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, and neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarsus, and gold from Ephes. The work of the workman and of the hands of the founder, blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth, and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of heirs. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it is pleased thee in the evening hour of this thy holy day of rest, that the doors of thy house have been opened by renewal, and the privilege that we may enter those doors. And then by renewal on this day, as a sinful, unworthy, undeserving people, we attempt to open our unclean lips and to draw nigh unto thee. And then we ask thee, that is so necessary and so fitting, that thou clothe us with profound reverence and deep humility, a low place at thy footstool, that thou may receive thy rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that the luster of thy glory may shine forth. We have heard out of thy holy word that the prophet was given to declare to the children of Israel that great, that living God from whom all blessings flow. Lord, wilt thou impress it more and more upon all of our hearts, how dependent we are upon thee for everything, and that thou art the fountain of all good. The apostle has said that in thee we live, we move, and have our being. Thou granteth unto us and our children our heartbeat and our breath. And when thou removeth thy upholding hand, then we are no more, and then it becomes eternity. Lord, impress also upon our hearts all thy goodness and all thy mercies, wherein this dark, this serious and solemn time, that thou yet maketh the great distinction where there is no distinction. We may have a home, we may have shelter, food and drink, clothing, many freedoms, a place to come up to worship Thee. Those are blessings that great multitudes must miss. We commend them all unto Thee, O Lord. Remember the countries where there is war, where there is death, mourning, a sorrow, many wounded, many troubled, many overwhelmed, many at their wits' end. May they be given to bow their knees, and may Thou use it all, that sinners may be brought to a saving knowledge of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we humbly ask Thee by renewal for a blessing upon Thy holy word. May it be used in this hour for the conversion of our boys and girls, for the conversion of our youth, for the conversion of the middle-aged, and for the conversion of the elderly. Oh, do impress upon all of our hearts that we have but a short time at best here below, only one step between us and death, and then we need to be born again. Oh, Lord, Thou knowest that if Thou leavest us lie, then we are undone and lost forever. Thou hast appointed the means of grace for the ingathering of Thy church. Wilt Thou remember Thy people? Thou knowest their condition. Thou knowest where they are encamped. May they be administered out of Thy fullness and receive grace for grace. May they not only have life, may they have it more abundantly. Wilt Thou grant by Thy Spirit, out of that threefold office of Thy Son, that Thy people may be more humble, more thankful, more holy, more profitable, exercised with the coming of Thy kingdom and the glory of Thy name. Do bless Thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Bless Thy word on the Lord's day. Remember the confession of faith. Bless the catechism classes and the house visitation. Bless Thy word in the midst of the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. Wilt Thou remember and bless our Christian school? Wilt Thou remember the school board when they hope to meet in this week? Wilt Thou grant Thy gracious help? Wilt Thou continue to grant traveling mercies? Wilt Thou help the teachers? Wilt Thou help the students? And when Thy word may daily be opened and explained, make it a blessing for young and old. May it please Thee to grant more teachers for the old truth and for the old ways. May their numbers be increased. Remember all those that labor in Thy vineyard. We commend unto Thee all Thy truly called servants, elders and deacons. May the number of Thy servants be increased. Those who were truly called, converted, called, and sent by thee. We remember the nations of the earth. Remember also this nation. We commend unto thee the leaders federally, provincially, and locally. Impress upon all of their hearts that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of thy mouth. And only when there is a walking, a striving concerning thy word to walk according thereto, then we can only expect thy blessing. And when we continue to mock with thy institutions, walking so contrarily thereto, then thy judgments must and shall come upon such a people, O Lord. Wilt thou grant unto thy church a repentance of evil and worldly ways, that there may be an asking for thy will. To that end, in the realm of nature, then the wind may blow. To that end, send the north wind and the south wind of thy spirit, that it might blow mightily upon thy church. Remember the many needs in the midst of us, Lord, all under the physician's care, those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. May the means be blessed. May the prayers be multiplied. And above all things, where in these ways thou wert speaking in special ways, my son, my daughter, give me thy heart. May the callings be sanctified. May they be surrounded by thy care and by thy compassion. May they be brought with her sin-sick soul under the care of the heavenly physician. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children to the grave. Remember the orphans, Lord. Continue to uphold them. Remember all the elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda with all those that may lovingly care for their residents. Work also lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Wilt thou remember the handicapped? Wilt thou remember the secret crosses, the burdens? Remember the family circles. May love abound. May thy word have great authority. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou grant freedom and opening? Make it an easy task. Grant errands in hers. May there be empty vessels that have come up in this evening, vessels that know it no more, but that have begged for a little instruction and for a little encouragement. Where thou hast begun that good work, thou shalt never forsake them. Thou shalt continue to instruct, to comfort, to encourage, but also to correct them. For thy people it is the work of the Spirit to bring them to a saving knowledge of that great bridegroom, thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Help also the little children to understand. Forgive us of all of our transgressions. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 308, the first four stanzas. And not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. And what follows, Psalter 308, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 34, the questions and answers 92 through 95. Question 92, what is the law of God? Answer, God spake all these words, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And the Ten Commandments, as they were read this morning. Question 93. How are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables. The first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God. The second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. Question 94. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? Answer, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of mine own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone, with humility and patience submit to Him, expect all good things from Him only, love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Question 95. What is idolatry? Answer, idolatry is instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Lord's Day 34 speaks of the holy law of God in the context of true thankfulness. First, the God-glorifying purposes of the law, and secondly, the God-glorifying first commandment of the law. The holy law of God in the context of true thankfulness. The God-glorifying purposes of the law and the God-glorifying first commandment of the law. Beloved congregation, we have already spoken in the part of thankfulness of two Lord's days, and now the instructors, they bring us to the holy law of God. Then in answer 90, when it speaks of the quickening of the new man, then we read, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. And then we have heard the last time what good works are. Then first, that they proceed from a true faith. Secondly, the rule according to the law of God. And thirdly, the purpose, and that is the glory of God. And to that end, the instructors have come to the law of God. Not the first time that the instructors have spoken about the law of God. Maybe our children can even remember that at the beginning of the catechism, in Lord's Day number 2, whence knowest thou thy misery? And then the answer was, out of the law of God. Thus, the instructors have first spoken of the first purpose of the law, and that is to uncover the sinner to his misery, to his great need. And then we have heard further in the catechism that the instructors have spoken of the second purpose, as we read in Galatians, that the Spirit uses a law as a schoolmaster to bring a sinner to Christ, that the Spirit shows him more and more the spirituality of the law, that they are unable to fulfill, that with their best efforts, that they are a sinner still, and that is a sinner because faith worketh by love. And then the question is born, whether there is a way for such a one as I am that cannot fulfill that law, a way that I may be pardoned and that I may be saved. And now when this Lord's Day, in the part of thankfulness, that is the third purpose of the law in the life of a child of God, that they have a desire, the rule of life, to live according to that law. And when does that now begin, congregation? When does that now begin in the life of a child of God? That begins when the Lord begins to work, because the Lord sheds that love abroad in their heart. And I read in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he has loved us first. The work of the Spirit, virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. But now on this Lord's Day, then it is so different. There's a child of God that has been led further, and a child of God that learns also in the part of sanctification that they need to be administered out of the fullness of Christ in his threefold office. Thus the first time at Mount Sinai, then we have a trembling sinner that has been uncovered to his sins and to his lost condition. When we read Exodus 19, then that people have greatly trembled. The mountain was a smoke, thunderings and lightnings. And then the Lord has spoken in an audible voice. But now in the part of thankfulness, then we have a sinner that has been reconciled, because it comes after Lord's Day 23. and that is necessary for the child of God to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God thus in this Lord's Day, then we have a servant, a handmaiden, that is given to us, the Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Take me by heart and hand, instruct me in the way that I must go. Thus very different than Lord's Day number two. In this Lord's Day, it is not to merit. Ah, the true child of God learns that they have no merit. They only have sin. And to that end, the necessity of that precious mediator, thus in this Lord's Day, it is not to merit, but it is in the part of gratitude. Then in the second place, and what a lesson to learn, and to learn each time by renewal, and that way of thankfulness, not in our own strength, but to be administered out of that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in this Lord's Day, then it is not with fear, but it is with that filial, that childlike obedience, looking unto the Lord and asking for instruction. What is the law of God? Then the coming Lord's Day, also this Lord's Day, then in the context, then it is in the context of the introduction. And we hear or read that introduction every Lord's Day. Has it ever spoken to us? Because that introduction, that is a sermon in itself. Then the Lord speaks, I am the Lord thy God. Thus that introduction is also an examination. I am the Lord thy God. It is true, a great privilege, a great blessing to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace, to have a baptized forehead, to be a God-bearer. Then when we hear it, I am the Lord thy God, then it should be the question, how has it been in the past week? Has that become visible, been visible in our life? Seen by our family, the community, that the Lord is our God, that we are a separate people. I am the Lord thy God. Then it should be the question whether there are exercises, whether the Lord has become our God by his free and sovereign grace, exercises at the throne of grace, because by nature, then we are under the banner of the Prince of Darkness, then we are not one of the Lord's. I am the Lord thy God. But also what a comforting message for the church of God, because our Lord's Day is in the context of thankfulness. And then the Lord is given to declare his wonderful works for his church. The Lord has a people with that introduction that there are times they may say amen can be in the way of desire. That there are souls that turn that introduction into a prayer. Lord, thou knowest the longings and the desires of my heart. I need thee as my God. I need thee as my Savior. Lord, I cannot live without thee. Ah, wilt thou bless thy holy word on this Lord's Day, that I may hear it. The Lord has a people that there are times that they have difficulty to declare their heart, but there are times that they may hear their heart declared, and then they may rejoice with joy unspeakable, that they may receive a hope that the Lord has become their God, that they find their life declared in the Word of God, but not only an amen in the way of desire and longing, but also at times in the way of assurance that the Lord confirms his own work. And then the Lord is given to declare his wonderful works concerning the true people of God, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. There the Lord declares what he has done in the life of his people, because the true people of God know what it is to be in that house of bondage, in the land of Egypt, under the taskmaster of the law, and that they have labored so hard to deliver themselves that people know what it is, that it becomes impossible to be saved from their side. The justice of God demands a perfect obedience. And then that people know of those times as the children of Israel, that they have groaned, that they have wept, secret places. Blessed are they that mourn. They are a people that have experienced wonderful things like the children of Israel. They have seen the plagues. The Lord has wrought wonderfully, that has brought thee out of the house of bondage, the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That people have experienced more, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to declare for that people in bondage a way to escape. And that was only, as I read in Exodus 12, verse 26, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's not to be satisfied with our bondage, with our misery. Needful. There's the work of the Spirit. But it is the work of the Spirit to lead further and to declare a way to be saved, that Passover lamb that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Passover lamb had to be wholly eaten, and that is what also these Lords they speak of, because the Lord, his true people, they need that lamb, justification and sanctification. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. How is it with that introduction, congregation? Has that now taken place in our life? Because when the Lord works, then we shall experience wonderful works. It's not just a thought, maybe, perhaps. It is true. When the Lord works, that people at the beginning, it is such an astonishing work. But they shall know one thing. It has become different. And they receive a love for the Lord, his attributes, and everything that pertains to the Lord. They learn that they are in the house of bondage and that they need to be delivered. They become a praying and a seeking people. Thus that introduction, congregation, that tells us each Lord's Day of that great God that is bringing his people out of the house of bondage. Thus, my unconverted fellow travelers, that introduction that grants hope for us and our children. But we must not be satisfied with that knowledge and with that hope, because we need to be brought out, and that needs to take place here in the time. And our time is short, and the times are serious. Thus, when we hear that introduction, and oh, we have to be honest, include myself, we are so used to hear the law read. Many times, perhaps, we do not listen so closely. But when we hear it, may there be many souls in the congregation that may turn that introduction into a prayer and ask, Lord, may I be included in that number. And when the Lord has begun to confirm it, to grant that assurance, thus the law follows that introduction. And then the instructors also ask, how were these commandments divided into two tables? The first, how we must behave towards God. The second, which duties we owe to our neighbor. We read in Romans 13, verse 10, that love is the fulfilling of the law. We live in a day that there is still spoken of the second commandment, second table, more horizontal, the duties of man towards one another. But many times there is not spoken of the first table. And when the first table no longer has a part in our life, in the life of churches, then sooner or later, then the greatest sins shall be committed against the second table. We live in a time that many people place love above the law, can never be separated, but it must be according to the holy law of God. And there can be circumstances that we do have to choose between obeying the first table or the second table. And then the first table has the preeminence. When parents ask children to do things that are wrong, unbiblical, wicked, then they do not have to obey and honor their parents. We could give examples in the labor world when our employer asks us to unnecessarily labor on the Lord's Day, not works of necessity or works of mercy, then we must obey the fourth commandment above the fifth. We have the example of the three friends of Daniel in Daniel 3, when the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, has commanded everyone when the music would be played that everyone would bow before that image. And then those three friends have refused, receive the blessing of the Lord. Let us first sing Psalter 333, the four stanzas. How I love thy law, O Lord, daily joy its truths afford. In its constant light I go, wise to conquer every foe. And what follows, 333, the four stanzas. the holy law of God in the context of true thankfulness. The God-glorifying purposes of the law, and now secondly, the God-glorifying first commandment of the law. And then the first commandment reads, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." How ashamed and how humbling for the church. We would think that the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, when the Lord has spoken that first commandment, that they have hung their heads in shame, that they were humbled. Was it now necessary, after such a rich proclamation, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage," where the Lord has shown so clearly that he was that Almighty God? He has stretched out his arm. He has led them out, given the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, granted them manna and water out of the rock. And then for the Lord, the first commandment, for that people, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The nominal Christendom, they become angry with such a language, but for the true child of God, congregation, has it taken place on a Lord's Day morning when you have heard the first commandment and given to reflect how good, how faithful, how long-suffering the Lord has been in the week that lies behind, given to reflect on the works of providence, but more so for the church, on the works of grace, and then to hear that the Lord in the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We could give a natural example. What would you think, congregation, when a marriage may be solemnized in church, and that the bridegroom and the bride, they walk toward the back, and if the bridegroom would say out loud, "My wife, now you must remember to never look, to never long, and to never think of an other man," how ashamed that would be for the bride. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that in the way of thankfulness, that they do not become angry with that commandment, because they learn that they have many other gods. What doth God require in the first commandment? And then the instructors, they begin in a very serious way, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, has that become important? Can we say sincerely, do we believe we have a soul? A soul by nature that is lost and that needs to be saved. And then we become sincere. Then that becomes the most important. Then we become exercised with death and eternity. And then we are given to beg that we may be included in that people. I am the Lord thy God. Do we not read in Matthew 16, verse 26, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Congregation, we must leave everything behind. Thus the instructors, they are impressing upon all of our hearts that this first commandment that concerns the salvation of my own soul. And then there is a difference whether we are troubled with our idols or whether we freely serve them. And to that end, the instructors, they have begun, avoid and flee from all idolatry. Thus all idols beside the Lord we must avoid and we must flee. What is now an other God? That is someone or something that we love besides and above the Lord. We may have our loves. Husbands must love their wives. Family circles, a great blessing, but not in the place or above the Lord. Another God, that is someone that we ascribe attributes to that belong to the Lord. There's something or someone that has a larger place in our life than the Lord. A good test is when we have some leisure time, and I hear some older ones say, fathers and mothers, I wish I had a little more leisure time. But how do we spend that time? Is God in our thoughts? Then fourthly, it is someone or something that we ascribe more honor to than the Lord. And fifthly, someone or something that gives more joy than the service of the Lord. And then the instructors, they have mentioned different things. Sorcery. Think of the magicians in Egypt who imitate the power of God. Soothsaying, to imitate his omniscience. Saul has went to the witch of Endor. Superstition, that we ascribe things to superstition, not believing in the providence of the Lord, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and then you say, that points to the Roman Catholic Church. The Lord has a people that we can idolize, office bearers that we expected from them instead of the Lord. And when we consider other gods, then we shall mention different ones in short. And what is now the biggest idol? Do you have trouble with that idol? What is now the biggest idol? That is I. The center letter of sin. That we seek our own honor instead of the Lord's honor. Other gods. Oh, in the family circle, what a blessing. One love may abound, but if it is well, then there should be that struggle and that question. Undoubtedly it can be when we have impressions of these matters and we consider how dearly we love our spouse, our children, that the fear can arise in our hearts. Shall the Lord take them away? Because the Lord is jealous of his honor. Then the question can be, do our family members, we may see the goodness of the Lord therein, does it bring us more closer to the Lord and to his word? And then the material idols. All for boys and girls. For the boys it can be their tractor toys. And for girls their dolls. We may play with them. But never more important than the Lord. The pleasures, we live in a time. More pleasures. More lovers of pleasures, as we read in 2 Timothy 3 verse 4, than lovers of God, food and drink, Philippians 3 verse 19, whose God is their belly, for the women their clothing, as we read in Isaiah 3, of course women, we may be dressed attractively, beautifully. That's why you belong to that sex, but yet modestly, and that it becomes not an idol, can be religion. Think of the Pharisees, that we make an idol of our religion, but not serving the Lord as he has commanded. Could speak of many sinful idols, music, sports, addictions, and have we skipped something in our day? Do we have another idol? What do you think, congregation? I'm not saying we have mentioned them all, but what has become a special idol in our day? That has a larger place than the Lord, spent more time with it, more important than the service of the Lord, more important than the Bible, even an idol that draws us away from the old paths and the old truth. That is technology, social media. The past Thursday, we have been instructed concerning those things. May we not only be hearers, but may we also be doers. The Lord has blessed our denomination concerning the television. It's kept much evil out of our families and out of our minds. The television has slain their millions. The technology shall slay their billions. And also in that respect, then we must be a separate people and consider, examine our lives and our hearts also concerning our time. But then the instructors, they have not only spoken in a negative way, but they have also spoken in a positive way. What is necessary and what profound matters that our instructors have spoken to us. And then first, concerning thou shalt have no other gods before me, then it is necessary and learn rightly to know the only true God. We have read together out of Jeremiah 10. And then the prophet was given to declare his great God, which he served, in opposition to the idols of heathen lands. And then in verse 7, a precious text, a precious question. When we consider that great God, who has our life in his hands, must also be the Lord that keeps and spares us in this week. And then the prophet has declared, who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. Then this commandment that declares how deeply we have fallen and departed from the living God, who grants unto us and our children so many blessings, for us especially, for the suffering in the world. Can be profound questions concerning that suffering. Think of the countries where there is war, hunger, persecution, that man can break out in rebellion and enmity, and that such a people think, such a God I do not want to serve. But now for us and our children, so privileged, so blessed, I hope that many times in our family circles they are spoken of the blessings which the Lord grants unto us temporally, but also the truth of his holy word. And then should it not be the question, who would not fear thee, O King of kings? And then it is necessary to know the King. And then further, to trust in him alone. Not last, but first and alone. then concerning this explanation, then each and every one, also God's people, how guilty they come out. We read of King Asa, oh, we read many good things, but in the 39th year of his reign, when he became sick, that he went not first to the Lord, but he trusted in the physicians. We may and must use the means, but now to trust the Lord. And we can speak so piously, but inwardly as secretly trust our strength, our health, our money, whatever it may be. And further, with humility and patience, submit to him. That speaks of Lord's Day number 10. Expect all good things from him only. And then to love him with all our heart. Lord, as a people upon the earth that does love the Lord, but have to confess much, oh Lord, when I read this answer, then my sins are great and manifold. After receiving so many blessings, then to be such a wandering sheep, to love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his will. Last statement, it's a statement of examination. How is it in our life, congregation? Do we know of those times? Those are blessed times. When it lies so tender, so close, that we need the Lord for everything, even the smallest matters. When we may be much in the presence of the King, and to behold his holiness, and his goodness, and his mercy. And then in those times, may the Lord grant more of those times, that it lieth so tender, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his will. And when those times may be experienced, all we hope to hear at the end of the law, why it needs to be so strictly preached, to humble, also that the living church may continually flee to that fountain of blood. And when it lieth tender, then the church shall say with the prophet Isaiah in chapter 26, verse 13, O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. The Lord granted by his grace in beginning and in the continuance also by renewal. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Thou was yet given a few words to speak, with many shortcomings. Could we impress it more upon the hearts? But, O Lord, that is the work of thy Spirit. And then we have heard precious instruction in this evening hour, and reasons to examine each of our hearts concerning that introduction and concerning the first commandment. Oh, may the prayers be multiplied, that there may be those publicans that may return to their homes and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thou knowest what liveth in all the hearts. Lord, do convert the unconverted. When there is building upon sandy foundations uncovered, and wilt thou remember thy Zion, we may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over us, the mothers in the home, at work, on the way, in school. Remember those that are studying in institutions of higher learning. Wilt thou graciously keep them. Wilt thou keep us under thy kind care and thy good protection, O Lord. Take none of us away in this week unexpectedly, and above all unprepared. Grant a prayer for one another. Grant exercises concerning the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Be the faithful keeper, Israel, in this night. May we be given to awake refreshed for our labors. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter 428. Let us only sing the second stanza. Oh, let thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed to keep thy statutes, so to be obeyed. And what follows, 428, only the second stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.